Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. We're glad you did that. And I know you are too, because you know, you heard that we got our good friend Kenneth Davis back on the show. Ken is a New York Times best-selling author of many books, including Don't Know Much About History. That's his classic book, and of course he's written so many others. Don't Know Much About Mythology, and on and on. Something under 100 books that have sold, something under a billion copies galactically. His new book, which he co-authored with his daughter, which I think is just as cool as it can be, is called Don't Know Much About Literature. And we're gonna educate you a little bit, folks. This is not going to be like English Lit 101. This is not going to be like that, but it's going to be a little bit like that. We're going to talk about books, but we're also going to talk about books that were banned and why they were banned. So let's get him in here. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Now, your daughter, Jenny, who's, by the way, my daughter's name is Jenny, so congratulations on choosing a good name for her. Your daughter, Jenny, is your co-author.
She is my co-author on this one. First time I've worked with her.
If I understand correctly, she kind of did the heavy lifting on this book.
She did the heavy lifting on this. First of all, she's smarter than I am, and she's a much better writer than I am, so I figured why not have the smarter, better writer do the work.
Are you here? Why are we talking to her?
Well, she's actually otherwise engaged right now. After getting through Harvard and getting a wonderful degree in history and literature, she floundered around with what she was supposed to do with her life, and she's just gone back to school. She's at Yale School of Nursing. She's becoming a nurse practitioner. So she's doing the really important stuff while sit around and talk about books.
Well, there's another parallel. My daughter is a nurse. She's a critical care nurse, and so how about that for parallels? Well, you tell Jenny that you were our second choice. You be sure to tell her that, okay?
I will tell her that. Thank you.
But you know we love you. you know we love you, Ken.
I love being on with you.
Don't know much about literature. Now you're a book guy. You love books, don't you?
I do love books, and I'm a kid. I was a kid who we had no bookstore in my town. Of course, you know, people grow up today. There's a Barnes & Noble or, you know, some other bookstore on every corner,
right?
Like Starbucks, but certainly not 40 or 50 years ago. Bookstores were very rare. I did not have a bookstore in my town. Never went to a bookstore until I was practically an adult. But I had the public library.
Books were in libraries when I was a kid.
Look, public libraries are, you know, one of the real souls of a democracy, and a lot of people take them for granted, although less so during a recession, of course. But for me, the public library was the place where I did my reading. I went once or twice a week. It was like a shrine to me, a beautiful public library in the city where I grew up, Mount Vernon, New York, just outside of New York City. And the books that I read there, I remember so well, being a teenager, going in and reading books that really changed the way I looked at the world. And, you know, we read books for a lot of reasons, Jim, enjoyment, pleasure, to learn something. But ultimately, we want books that can really change our views or make us look at the world in a different way and question some of our assumptions. I remember when I was 14 reading a book called The Jungle by Upton Sinclair about the meatpacking industry in Chicago, or Johnny Got His Gun, a novel about World War II by a fellow named Dalton Trumbo, who happened to be blacklisted. And that's part of the point here, that this is Banned Books Week. The American Library Association takes the last week in September, marks it out as a week to talk about and highlight the fact that around the country, books are constantly under attack by people find their ideas. Or,
even today, Ken?
Well, today, as much as ever. In fact, the American Library Association has a map, an interesting map on their website, and you can link to it through don'tknowmuch.com, where they show some of the hundreds of challenges or actual bannings to books over the past 2 years, and they put it on a map so you can actually see where the the books actually are.
That's amazing.
Now, let me say...
Hold on that thought, because we've got to take a break, but I want to say before we go to the break, I remember getting my first... library card.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in the fourth grade. Public library. There's a coolest public library only a few blocks from where I lived when I was just in the fourth grade. And I remember how proud I was of that card. But, Ken, I also remember having to pay a fine for being late with my book, a book that I checked out. So I remember that. I got in trouble right away. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Tweet Tail. We'll be right back.
Well, I saw quite a crowd, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
We are on the road again. Little Ken Heat bringing us back. I'm on the road again. Good job, Ray. Yeah, we are on the road, and out here on the road in New York City, Midtown Manhattan. I'm in Midtown, folks, on around between 37th and 38th Street. And Ken Davis is with us. He's our good friend. He's on. You're south of 14th Street, aren't you, Ken?
I'm in the West Village, so probably I can see the Empire State Building from my window, and you're probably in that vicinity.
I can see your window. I'm waving at you right now, Ken.
I'm waving back, but there are some buildings
there
in the way.
My website,
I'm in,
folks, is small
I'm in the sort of the white hot center of the New York universe right now. It's called the Meatpacking District, actually.
There you go. Well, I'll have to come down to your part of the city. In fact, I'm going to be close to you, even closer to you, a little bit later today. Folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter when you get there, folks. We'll send it to you for free every Sunday afternoon by email. Ken Davis is with us. He's the co-author, along with his lovely daughter, Jenny Davis. The book is called Don't Know Much About Literature. And that's the new one. He's written many others. But that's what we're talking about right now, specifically that today is, or I should say this week is Banned Books Week. Now, why would they come up with a Banned Books Week? Just to call some attention to the small-mindedness of some people?
That's, it's certainly calling attention to the fact that around the country, and this is something that started over 20 years ago by the American Library Association and a number of other groups, including the National Coalition Against Censorship, to bring to light the fact that around the country more and more books were being not outright banned in every case, but challenged. And very often, to be honest, these challenges are made by well-meaning parents who don't like what their children are perhaps being assigned to read in classrooms. Sometimes they are people, though, who are going into public libraries and saying, that's an offensive book and it shouldn't be on our shelves. You know, Jim, we have something unique in America. People always say the greatest right we have is the right to vote. I disagree. I think that the First Amendment is our greatest right because it's very unique.
I agree
in
with
America.
Because everything else wells from there.
And
everything else springs from there.
The right to expression and the right to read, the right to understand, even
and
the most
and the
offensive
right
thing,
to not read.
And the right to not read. Now, what we have is certainly a case where a parent might object to their child being assigned to read a book. And there's a very simple way around that. If the school thinks that the children should be reading that book, but you find it offensive, then usually the school will offer an alternative. But the problem is that parents are going in to a school or to a public library and saying, I want that book out of here. Now, some of the books that we're talking about might surprise you. Among the most frequently cited books are things like Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck.
Right.
Great story of the Depression era, two guys as roustabouts working out on a farm. People have object to its language and its depiction of Jesus. I have to say I've gone back and looked at it because this came up. It's fairly tame, certainly compared to what kids can see every night on television or if they go to the multiplex on the weekend. Censorship is a strong thing. One of the reasons that we exist exist as a country is that people like Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson were able to publish and write freely.
Right.
If their ideas had been banned or censored because they were...
It's not an accident that the freedom of speech was the First Amendment.
I agree completely. There's a real...
Now, let me ask you a question, though, Ken. Is there any book that you could imagine that... Is there any topic that you think would be justified in banning from schools, for example? Is there any... Do you think that there's no... That any book that is published should be allowed to be distributed in schools?
In schools, no. Absolutely not, of course. Schools exist for a particular reason, to educate children. It's not
right,
and certainly there are things that are age appropriate and
right,
and have a teaching. It has to have a teaching value.
So you could understand how parents of fourth graders might not like certain sexually oriented books being taught to them.
And
that's
why I say the word age appropriate.
Exactly. I know that you're like that, and so I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to say that. But I agree with you. But what I agree with you on, I think the most, is that these books that are legitimate literary works are justified in being in the libraries.
Especially the public library. I mean, I'm making a distinction here about schools and school class lists, and parents should have a voice in that. On the other hand, I think that teachers and librarians, their instincts are often better than we give them credit for, and they're hardworking mm-hmm. people, and they're
well,
good
they're professionals.
People.
Librarians are professionals.
They absolutely are, and boy, if the rest of the government were run as efficiently as the library... We'd be in much better shape. I often say maybe they should put the librarians in charge of health care.
I hadn't thought about that, Ken. That's a great suggestion. I've never seen a library that was not buttoned down. Have you?
No, they provide a great service. They do it efficiently. They do it really at bare bones cost, and they give you what you want when you ask for it.
I don't know any rich librarians. Do you?
No, but they are really devoted people. I have tremendous respect for librarians. And let me just say, this is serious business. Because of the recession, and we mentioned this at the top a little bit, because of the recession, library use around the country is up, 40, 50%. Because it's not just about going in and taking out the latest bestseller. People go to the library because it is an information and technology.
Well, and where else would people who can't afford computers and the Internet get online? That's where they go. They go to the Internet, and thank God for that. Hey, Ken, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Ken Davis is our guest. His new book, along with his daughter, who's the co-author, is Don't Know Much About Literature.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today.
We'll be back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We had a great visit with our good friend Ken Davis. Ken is the co-author, along with his very intelligent, highly educated daughter, Jenny. Jenny Davis is his co-author, or I should say he's her co-author, on the book Don't Know Much About Literature. And, Ken, I'm so proud that you and Jenny got to write this book together. As a parent of two children, I can just only imagine the pride you must feel right now.
Oh, it's just tremendous, and not only pride, great, great fun to be able to work with my daughter. In fact, I'm bringing my son into the project as well. I started doing video blogs on my website, don'tknowmuch.com, and my son is being very technical and smart about these things, is producing, directing, and editing my video blogs for me. So
good for you. And by the way, this new book is out this week, right?
It's been out a couple of weeks now, actually. It's in the store, Don't Know Much About Literature. Just to explain, people might know Don't Know Much About History. This one's a little bit different. It's a collection of about 100 quizzes. So it's short, quick, fun information. Mm-hmm. It's not an encyclopedia. It's really a way to get familiar with some of those books you probably should have read.
You know, Ken, where this would be a good book to give to a teenager or a preteen to get them introduced as a way of introducing them to a lot of different ideas and books and some of the classics. What do you think?
Absolutely, it's a big tent when I say literature, because it really is everything from Chaucer to Charlotte's Web and Homer to Harry Potter. And by the way, with Harry Potter, that's one of the titles that is frequently challenged around the country by parents. Of course, there are people who object to Harry Potter because it has magic in it, and magic must mean witchcraft and Satanism. That is the connection in a lot of people's minds. So these books, which have been miraculous in getting an entire generation of children interested
to
in reading again, are under attack by some parents around the country.
Right.
Not only, you know, it's one thing if they say, I'm not letting my child read that book, but they want to keep it out of the hands of all children. And that's where the problem, that's where we run into the question of the First Amendment rights.
I agree with you. Ken, let's talk to us about the book industry. This great recession, as it's now being called, has taken a toll on the publishing industry, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Back in the when I came into the business over 30 years ago, books used to be called recession-proof because people always needed books. But that's no longer true. The book business is under tremendous duress these days because people are cutting back, of course, on
not only from an economic standpoint, but also from a technological standpoint.
That's the other side of the coin. Absolutely. We're going through this thing of wondering how people are going to read. We've been so accustomed to books for 500 years since Gutenberg. By the way, I saw the Gutenberg Bible in the New York Public Library last week.
Wow.
You can just walk in and there it is on display.
I love referring to Gutenberg. In fact, I'm working on an article right now for a project, and I love referring back to him because, you know, when he invented his press, the intention was to print a better Bible.
That's correct.
And faster than inscribing. There was no constituency for the written word because everybody was illiterate. Everyone was illiterate.
People couldn't read, and even the Bibles that existed, the illuminated manuscripts, were in Latin. So even if you could, if you got your hands on a book, you wouldn't be able to read it because you were certainly, if you were illiterate in your own language, you were certainly illiterate in Latin. Yes, that revolutionized communications, no question about
but
it.
Do you
we're
think,
in the midst
do you,
of
what
another...
Do you, on the other side of all this, Ken, do you think... What do you think is going to be the biggest, after the recession's over and the economy's come back, you know, even then the publishing industry on paper will still have to deal with technology.
That's
which
absolutely
means,
correct.
And primarily we're talking about Kindle and in the form of reading books, but also the internet is in terms of taking our attention away from books.
It's taking our attention away. People are reading shorter. You know, we're writing in 140 characters at a time on Twitter.
Right.
So tremendous changes, but absolutely in most of them in whether we're going to be reading physical books or reading books as e-books. I believe that the book as we know it will always exist, but big changes coming, and publishers are trying to deal with that right now. The downloadable
and most of them are too late to the party, Ken.
Way too late, because publishers are like generals; they're fighting the last war.
Hey, Ken, I got to wrap it up. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for being here, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Congratulations on your book, but also your collaboration with your daughter. The book is called "Don't Know Much About Literature." Ken, come back to see us real soon.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Bye bye.
See ya. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be in the next hour after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.